Hello and welcome to Screamcast, a slasher podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Olga. And today we're discussing Scream Queens Season 2, Episode 2, entitled Warts and All.
An apt metaphor for our love for the show, despite its warts.
Feelings for the show.
Love. Deep, passionate love. I liked episode 2. I thought it was a big improvement over episode 1, actually. I thought it was very fun.
Yeah, actually, I agree. My big takeaway is kind of wishing that it was a two-part premiere.
Yeah. Because it was, like, episode 1, I thought, like, was a kind of bleh, but with its highlights. Whereas I felt like this episode was, like, fun with a kind of a couple bleh through it, you know, it's the right mixture.
I feel like my enthusiasm going into this episode wasn't as high as it would have been had it just flowed naturally from episode one. I would say kind of had a slow-ish start. And I found myself rolling my eyes more so. Like, it had to win me over again. All over again. And this is kind of something that I'm predicting for the rest of the season, where every week I'm going to feel like I have to be won over.
Well, let's hope that every week we get a shower scene that will just rise your adrenaline levels to the sky high.
I mean, to be fair, this was the second shower scene of John Stamos we had in as many weeks.
Yeah, really, so really fun scene, just to throw that out there.
I genuinely wouldn't be surprised if, as long as he's alive, we have a scene of him in the shower.
And I wouldn't have an issue with that.
Right? Me neither. Especially if Chad is there.
Yes. So good.
My baby.
So let's,
except not.
Let's start, I guess at the beginning, why don't we talk about show number 5, and we can start with her not being believed by the police. That bothered you. That, to me, I actually thought it was funny. I thought the police had some funny lines, and that's what this show is. And it's, I don't know. I've kind of accepted what this show is, and unlike on another show that's trying to be serious and the cops are idiots, you know, like, that is actually infuriating. For this, I'm just like, yep, the cops are idiots, and that's the joke, you know, like.
See, I know that, and they even kind of point out that stupidity of that trope.
Multiple times Dean Munch calls it out. Yeah.
Man, Dean Munch was great this episode.
Yeah, it's a good Dean Munch ep.
But just going back to the beginning.
Yeah.
I just like, oh my god, we have a whole lot of shrill number 5. We have really stupid police. And I don't know, I was a little worried about, like, are they trying to replace Denise?
Yeah, with this new lady.
Like, because another black female cop.
Yeah.
She's
kind of an idiot. Like,
pretty dumb.
Yeah. Yep.
And Denise isn't, like, she's kind of happy-go-lucky not dumb.
Yeah.
But
it's a different
it's her
kind
own
of
kind of thing. But this woman was, like, really blatantly stupid. And
I think Denise is failing upward, whereas this character is just, like, a moron who's always going to stay a moron.
Exactly. It's like, ha, 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 this is clearly the trope.
Yeah.
And then the Chanels come in. They're like, you ruined our date. And I was like, God.
That was probably the low point of the Chanels in this episode, who I think actually overall were a lot more solid than usual. You had a big issue with
I didn't like the scene of the confetti exploding.
I actually liked that.
I rolled my eyes at that too.
I mean, I think that, okay, like, but like on their scale, I think that they 100% are much more bearable in this episode than usual. And they really, they really don't stick out as potential big problems.
Yes, but I would say that's also because they really weren't the focus of this episode.
Which is an interesting thing in general to talk about, that we talked about the protagonist issue last week, and this week it really was there is no protagonist. We just have lots of different subplots.
Yeah, it was 5 had the most screen time out of all the Chanels.
But we don't have a. She wasn't like separate. I mean, like, you could say was Zayday the driving force. She was the one actually talking about the murders. But, you know, I feel like
But she wasn't the protagonist either.
Because all the plot lines, we had the Zayday plot line, we had the Chad plot line, and we had the 5 plot line. And all of them were kind of given equal footing, which I don't know that that's a bad thing necessarily.
No,
it's just an interesting thing.
I would say this kind of episode epitomized the fact that this is an ensemble cast.
Yeah. It just, I think it's just a strange thing when they go back and forth on that.
Yeah.
Because last episode, I would not say felt like an ensemble show. It felt like a Chanel show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so. I mean, it's something that they do when it suits them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay,
but it. But bringing it back, we're talking about Five. So I actually think this is one of Five's better episodes. I'm not usually a huge fan of her, but I actually thought Abigail Breslin, like, was a lot funnier than usual this episode. I loved her moment with the, at the restaurant, beating up the people.
Who were making fun of...
Troy? Tyler.
Tyler, yeah. Played by... who said it first? I was like, man, that looks like Colton Haynes.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is, I feel like an idiot. The first time I watched it was not with you. And when I saw the picture of the hot picture, I was like, that looks like Colton Haynes.
Yes.
But I didn't realize that the pimply, crazy version was actually Colton Haynes.
So... Here's the crazy part. He has a very distinctive kind of, like, head.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and facial arrangement.
Yeah.
So it's already where, you know, going with the idea, the premise of these patients aren't going to be extras.
Yeah.
They're not going to be nobody actors. They're going to be maybe, like, TV actors, like, character actors. But I kind of had the idea, this is what we're dealing with. So we see him, and I started wondering, okay, who is this? Like, who could this be?
Yeah.
And then as soon as I saw just the general square head of Colton Haynes in the picture, I'm like, yeah, that's Colton Haynes. And they showed it again. I was like, yeah, that's definitely him.
Arrow actor, for those that don't know, I believe he was also Teen Wolf. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
My mom loved him on Teen Wolf.
Fun guy. I also just thought that his character was fun as far as, like, he was like a gross version of the Thing from Fantastic Four. So yeah, I really like Chanel Mafrasna's moment there. I thought that her like stupid, cute little odd romance with Tyler was actually pretty fun.
It was sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know. She needs to go back on her meds.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, they don't make her a perfect person.
Yeah.
But they kind of do make her likable in this episode. And she oscillates between the unlikability and likability and just general Chanel-ness that happens.
I kind of do hope we see her on her meds at some point, because they made the joke about it at the end in the finale, but we never really saw what this character was on her meds.
Boring.
Well, do you think it is boring, or do you think she's more, is she more mean? Like, if she's friends with Chanel, was she more like Chanel? Like,
the idea was... The asylum turned Chanel into someone un-Chanel-like because of her circumstance. I mean, she was in charge.
Yeah.
But the idea is they kind of formed this human relationships with people and with each other.
Yeah.
And now, as a result of being out and in the world and back in this environment, they're not those, quote, nicer Chanels anymore.
I do hope, I guess from the promo for next week, without spoiling anything, it does seem like we're going to be getting more Three going forward.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like he's been underserved so far.
Well, that happened in season one, too. We were like, who is this? And then we see her and we're like, all about this.
I mean, because I feel like I definitely just called her earmuffs for a while there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because we didn't even really remember which number was which for a while.
Yeah, or we got sick of saying Chanel number three. Let's just call her earmuffs. But now I'm like, no, she's Chanel number three.
All right, so anything else you want to say about... We can go back to this plotline for the final death.
Okay.
And then, so let's talk about... Do you want to say anything about Chanel this episode? There's not much to say. There was the popcorn scene.
Date with Stamos.
Yeah. Not my favorite scene. I thought that there was one that I thought the weirdest beat was her saying the thing with the popcorn and him liking it.
Yeah, that was weird.
Which it just didn't seem like the character they had set up.
Like,
that he was kind of like that. I think they set up he was a douche, but like a well-meaning douche.
Yeah, like he's self-involved, but the fact that she's I like to make fat people feel guilty.
Yeah.
It's like, that doesn't seem like him.
Yeah. Well, I had mentioned to you that I feel like they should have gone more with him being like, what? And then her, like, saying something sexy or something and be like, okay, I don't care. Like, that seems more like the character they set up.
Or saying something like, I'm sorry, I didn't hear any of that. I was so distracted by your beauty. Like, where he just is blind to her jerkiness.
Yeah. Well, kind of like, so later on they have the thing in the shower scene where he says that's totally misogynistic, but Chanel's worth it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a similar idea that
That would have tied it together. So since this is kind of Chanel's plot,
yeah,
let's go to
Chad.
Let's go to Chad and Holt. And
well, let's segue that with the Red Devil appearance.
Oh,
which
of course,
I thought was pretty fun. I mean, I think we both guessed that it would be Chad, but it was still fun to see the Red Devil again. And
they kept dropping. I mean, they brought up Chad episode one.
Yeah.
And we discussed it last week of, like, when are we going to get him?
Yeah.
Hopefully soon. And then they bringing it up again about her, I lost out on Chad Radwell. and then as soon as I see the Red Devil, fucking Chad. That's Chad. Yeah, that has to be Chad. Yeah. So it was a nice, that was.
Well, the best part was mentioning the finale asylum
that
moment.
He was the one who broke in to scare her. And that's.
Which I 100% don't think was ever the intended case, but at least they threw that out at there. It's a fun explanation.
So here's my feeling about that. I think that they said, if this is our finale, it's the killer.
Yeah.
It's a killer. It's someone bad connected to the bigger subplot, and we will never know.
Mm.
If we get a season two, Chad is playing a joke.
Well, I think my thought process is that there's even a third option of that they weren't necessarily planning on bringing Chanel back for season two.
That, you know, that could very
that,
well
like,
be it.
You know, that yes, it's the killer and he kills Chanel and we move on. You know, like, so I don't know. But I did like them throwing in the explanation. We were annoyed that they didn't even mention it last week. But you know, another reason why I think it would have been nice to have a two episode premiere.
Yes.
So Chad comes back with a vengeance. He's funny as always. Glenn Powell is just perfect.
So good at being so involved. It's not just him as fitting this character. It's his delivery of his character. The arrogance, yes. The cockiness, yes. But also just the snippiness and the speed and tone and kind of. He says this publicly. He says this to himself. He says this part. Introspectively or pseudo introspectively, and he says this as like the leader, you know, it's just he hits these notes perfectly,
and it's the nice, he has a nice mixture of stupidity and intelligence,
right,
which like works for that character, like for some reason it works, like, I don't know why it works, but it does. And so his whole back and forth with Brock was just amazing, because those are the two characters that I've really enjoyed on this show. And I mean, you said that shower scene was like one of your favorite things you've seen in a while.
Honestly, I think I say this a lot, especially in podcasts, but it is. Like, I don't know. It was the choreography, the staging of it, and the sound effect of the shower curtain, the rings going kring, like, and the swish. It was perfect. Every hit, beat, hit, note, hit. Yeah. It was so good. And obviously, it's a funny setting of two very attractive people, naked men, naked, fighting over a girl.
Could this be any more homoerotic?
Was he said, I don't think so, or no.
No, I think he said, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just really good. And I loved the talk. So Stamos was talking about, you check off only the handsome and rich thing. And he goes, you think I'm handsome? That seems kind of weird given the circumstances.
It was so good. And then, obviously, did our dicks just touch a little? And then he looks away, kind of the shy boy, kind of uncomfortable.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Really just...
So good.
Just great.
I don't know if he can play... I've never seen him in anything else.
Yeah.
Does he play other characters other than Cocky Bro?
Cocky? All right, moving on. So we had the squash battle. Which was fun, and then we get the reveal via Kevin from The Office as the detective of the squash backstory of murderous intent. this whole plotline, I just think, was phenomenally hilarious and just fun.
Yeah.
And just campy and silly and crazy and...
Yeah, which, you know, we expected it to be.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they didn't stretch this mystery.
Yeah.
Of where does the hand come from? Because, you know, we kind of saw it coming. It's a murderous hand.
Yeah.
It's coming from a death row inmate
kind. The knife coming out of the racket and then him stabbing the guy. And then he killed 600
people. Okay. We were both kind of what?
Yeah, that was kind of, and then they're like, but he was an idiot. I'm like, he couldn't have been that much of an idiot if the cops took 600 deaths to find him.
That was funny.
And I just love the interplay between Chad and the guy who plays Kevin, Brian Baumgartner, you said?
Yeah.
I just think he was really funny as that character. It was a nice, like, sort of mix of Kevin and, like, this creepier, sleazier
it's
thing.
It's the kind of, character he plays. But, I mean, here's the big takeaway I have. Whatever scene Chad is in, it's a good scene.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter who he's with.
Right? He just plays perfectly. They know how to write for Chad.
Yeah.
They know how to write for Chad. I don't know.
I want them to do scenes with Chad in 3.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I just like to see that dynamic.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was just really funny. And then him like, figuring out the thing with the hand and him using that against Brock and where that's going.
Yeah. So, I think now's the time to bring up the reason that Chad is
back
in this episode.
His
friend
leaping.
Randall, who has the, what was it, the jumping Frenchman of Maine?
I think it was the leaping?
Leaping or
something like
scare,
that.
I don't know. Yeah. Frenchman of Maine condition.
Yes, the very reactionary, screaming. This was, for me, the funnest patient. At least as far as ailment that we've gotten so far from this show. I mean, I like Tyler as a character more, but as far as ailment, like, this was really funny, like, with Brock clicking the pen at him and everything. Yeah.
And also his sensory deprivation. Yeah. Towel and bucket on your head. Perfect.
Yes. And they're having their hunting society and killing...
and shooting Chelsea Clinton. Yeah.
Clinton? No, it was...
No, it was Chaney. Sorry, yeah.
Lindsay?
Yeah.
I'm bad with politics.
Yeah. Yeah. Shooting the Chaney daughter in the face.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh, and that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a hell of a shot. I've seen Ruth Bader Ginsburg speak. She is a feisty one.
Oh, yeah. You saw her at your school, right?
Yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah.
She's like 5 feet tall. And I'm like, I'm going to stand back from you, lady. You're
a hell of a shot.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really fun. I wonder if they're going to lead anywhere. I wonder if that guy's going to die and people are going to think boy who cried wolf thing and they won't come running when he's screaming.
Oh,
that could be kind of fun.
That's a nice setup. Yeah. And then Chad has something invested in the mystery of who the killer is, which is always good.
Yeah.
I have to say, I was about to say, Randall, at least we have some fun with him and Tyler isn't really that fun.
Yeah.
I was like, no, actually, they have the fact that he says that he has an Encyclopedia Brown fan fiction. That's all he does is write it because he has to stay inside away from society.
I think that's pretty funny.
It was really funny.
And I do wonder if the Encyclopedia Brown chat room hive mind thing is going to come back at some point.
Yeah, because he said he posted it and it's disgusting and they think they know. So,
so cool.
Hopefully they're smart and I guess don't drop that lead.
I think we'll come back, but it'll probably take a couple episodes or something.
Probably.
Why don't we segue, do we want to do Denise and Hester?
I was actually gonna let's do that and tie up anything the Chanels are involved in.
I have to say, I mean I don't know why I'm surprised, but I'm kind of surprised that they brought Denise back. I mean it makes sense.
Yeah.
If you're going to bring something back. For some reason, I didn't expect that. Denise is fun. I've always been kind of torn on Denise, because I think that the actress does a phenomenal job.
Yeah, Niecy Nash.
Like, muck in the way that, like, as far as, like, an actor goes, she's up there with Glenn Powell and Billy Lord. Is that what her name? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think her embodiment of that character is great. It's just that I think the writing is less on point for that character comparatively.
Yeah.
But it is, it's more repetitive. And it's, you know what's funny is because, like, three and Chad are repetitive too, but not in an annoying way. Like,
I'm trying to figure out what it is that makes her sometimes not as enjoyable.
Yeah.
For me.
I
can't put my finger on, I don't know. Actually, I think I do know what it is. It's genuinely the repeated joke
of
Zayday Williams being a suspect.
See, I don't really want it to continue beyond this, but I have, like, nostalgia for it personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, We can all agree that when it first came up, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was really funny. They beat it into the ground.
Yeah.
But, like, and so I hope it doesn't continue throughout this season.
Yeah. I mean, the only time it would be funny again is if she brings it up one more time, I guess, in front of Zayday. And Zayday's like, are we really still on this? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's the only time I want to hear it, and I don't want to hear it for a while and or ever again after that.
But I do have to say, just the way she says Zayday Williams is really funny.
The fact that she says her full name.
Yeah.
But she also says her own full name.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like the character.
My favorite thing was bringing up Quantico, going to its thrilling second season.
Yeah, I don't know. Now that it's kind of absorbed.
Yeah.
I really do like the jokes, and she hits a lot of the good beats, and we really liked, Chad's back, and Denise is back. Reunion of the lovers!
Nice.
I'm excited for that. That has to happen. Yeah. That has to happen.
I'm sure it will.
Yes!
I do want to talk about the going into its thrilling second season thing, because I also just want to give Fox props for bringing up an ABC show.
Well, that's because it's not a... If any other show on Fox tried to reference a show on basic cable, the execs would be like, no.
Well, I'm always impressed when channels do that. Like, when the Office, an NBC show, had an episode all about walking Glee. I'm just like, what are you doing?
Because it's supposed to be, they're regular people. Yeah. And this kind of also, Denise is heightened. These are all heightened versions of regular people.
Yeah.
So I feel like they kind of made a special exception for, now going into his thrilling second season.
So then we go into Hannibal Hester, which I love that alliteration there.
Yeah.
And I think that the homage to that whole Signs of the Lambs thing, I think was really fun. And I think Lea Michele is doing a great job as this character.
I was a little bit,
apprehensive.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was like, God, I don't want to see this again. It was more, what are we getting ourselves into?
Yeah.
And it was a really nice manic version of it. Hester.
I think Lea Michele's really good as that character. It's fun seeing this situation. It's a fun homage.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see where it goes going forward. But I'm certainly intrigued.
I like the fact that, again, I think I take most issue when, I hate saying this, but when the female characters are shrill.
Mm-hmm.
I bring this up. And because that's something that is brought up as a critique of women a lot.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she's so shrill. Nah, 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 and that invalidates what they do or say or whatever. That said, sometimes I'm just like, this hits one note and one note only in a performance.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy. So I don't like it when Hester or anyone plays shrill. So when she's low and manic and menacing and kind of just what we saw in this scene, I'm like, perfect.
Twitchy.
What?
Twitchy.
Twitchy. Yeah. Yes. Sorry, I didn't understand. I thought you said to a key. And,
Yeah.
So it was really good.
Mm.
I
like that she quote unquote knows who the killer is.
So I was going to say that's probably the best part, that she knows the setup of the green meanie and about the massacre and what happened in the hospital. So,
and I mean, I personally think that there is something kind of nice about them acknowledging that season one existed.
You
know, I feel like they very much could have just moved forward with these same characters but not really talked about it, you know? And I think that that's cool. Like, the fact that they brought up Boone again in this episode, I think that that's cool.
What was it? Poor dead gay Boone.
Yeah. I did want to, I guess, remember, you're talking about the shrill thing.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem for me with Denise is the gender representation of just, it's one thing for, Chad to be a commentary on the jock thing,
the bro,
because it's also just kind of a joke, but she always runs that line of, is she just the sassy stupid black woman stereotype? And it's like, the actress is so good that I don't think it's just the stereotype. Mm-hmm. But do we have Zayday is really, I guess Zayday does help balance her out. But generally, do we have that many, actually smart capable women that aren't just idiot. Like, you know, like, yeah. Even Monk is kind of an idiot. You know,
sometimes. Like, yeah, she vacillates. Yeah. Vacillates, oscillates.
Either of those. Okay. We're idiots.
Yeah. I've been out of college a few months and I'm already losing my smarts. Yeah, so she goes between being kind of a really great, strong character who's really capable, but funny and clever and weird, and being someone who's like, why are you around so much?
Yeah.
I don't want to watch you.
But like we said, so let's move into Dean Monk. I do think that this was a good episode for her overall. I think her and her battle with the Green Meanie I thought was really fun.
Yeah.
I love bringing back her badassery. It makes me like the character again. I think the choreography there was fun. Which also reminds me that I hope that we get like an actual final episode, like a finale confrontation this season. Because they're good at doing these, like, heightened crazy battle things, mm-hmm. but they never did a final confrontation last year, which I knew was a kind of, like, by design of how they wanted things to end, but that's just not as satisfying. You know?
I want them to pull that trigger, so to speak, this episode. I love the commentary.
In the finale.
In the finale, in the finale.
Yeah.
I love the thing of, what was it, 3 and Cassidy Cascade coming in and go, what's going on here? And I said, oh, no.
She's not going
to
take his mask.
She was right about to unmask him. Of course. I got so annoyed that this happened again. Although, at the same time, of course something was going to happen.
Yeah.
Unless it would have been, like, a robot.
That would be great.
Right? But I was like, oh, what's going to happen? Okay, this happens. Rolling my eyes. The slime trail goes off to the elevator, which I saw open, and I kind of knew that would be a getaway.
But
and she calls it out. That's it. From now on, when we're having a conversation, if someone's going to unmask the villain or the murderer...
Just
do it. And no distractions. Yeah. And they were just like, sorry, okay, our bad.
And I also thought that, I thought Jamie Lee Curtis's performance in that scene was particularly on point.
Really good.
Yeah, really fun.
Yeah.
So then the other whole subplot with her this week ties in with Zayday and who's the other guy?
Chamberlain?
Yeah, Chamberlain. Who is not gay, so kudos to them on that one. That was surprising to both of us.
Kinda, yeah. Played very flamboyant last episode, to be fair.
Yeah. So that was cool, playing against ideas. We just assume they're always playing for the obvious.
Let's just say we have a very flamboyant character on American Horror Story right now.
Yeah.
You know, Murphy. Just Murphy. You never know which... is he playing obvious or not?
Yeah.
Directionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that whole subplot was... a thing I called, kind of.
What? Oh, the death. So, yeah. Talk about the New Guinea stuff.
So, Dean Munch, when she first sees Zayday, I guess, this episode, she calls out, like, hey, do you know anywhere to get Guinean food? Guinean food? I don't know.
I think he said, do you know any good New Guinea places around here?
Guinea places.
I don't, I think he said New Guinea.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I made you, whatever it was, I made you pause, and I was like, did she mean, like, Papua New Guinea, like that country / area? And she was just like, you said, I don't know, kind of playing it.
I've seen it already.
Because you'd seen it.
Yeah.
And I just said, well, she said she developed a taste for their cuisine. There's recorded cannibalism there. and maybe having been a biology major and having studied diseases and progression of disease, I've known about Kuru.
Yeah.
And the fact that there, I didn't know it would play a part, like specifically that she would have it.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's kind of how I know about, about the cannibalism in the culture of, because of like prion disease.
Yeah.
So when that turned out to be a subplot of this episode, do you want to talk about your feelings about this?
So. We'll get to the others, the actual interesting stuff that Zayday and Chamberlain found in a second. Yeah. But as far as connecting just with Dean Munch, so first of all, they think that she's behind all the killings, so they decide to barge in and tell her that. Smart choice. And then she closes the door. They're fine with it. She says, I need a friend. They sit down and have a nice, calm conversation and with the murderer. Yes. And then he tells her this, like, really stupid BSA sob story of, oh, I'm actually going to die, and that's why I have the hospital. And
I Zayden, think I'm going to die. Yeah, she doesn't know yet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she believes she's going to die. And Zayday just totally buys it, which when I had just seen that part of the episode, I was like, this is a total obvious lie. Why would Zayday believe? She's an idiot.
Yeah, especially since Zayday kind of, you know, was around for their whole suspecting Munch as a murderer thing.
So, I don't... Like, okay, so she actually is gonna die. She wasn't lying.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Zayday had a weirdly... Like, why did she believe her?
Yeah.
And then the other thing, the bigger problem is... If you started this hospital to cure diseases and thus save yourself, why did you bring the Chanels here?
Exactly. Why would you think that they could actually help?
Yeah, and even if... So, my guess is that she has some other ulterior motives on top of this, and that there is a reason why she brought the Chanels here, but why wouldn't Zayday ask that question?
Right.
You know, like...
So, I want Zayday sometimes to be smarter than she is.
Like, it's like two steps forward, three steps back. Mm-hmm. I feel like they were trying to make her smart in this episode, and she had a few smart things, like with the nurse and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But generally, it was just weird. So let's talk about the positive stuff that she and Chamberlain figured out together about the Halloween massacre.
Yes.
So the year after our flashback from episode one, we have a new flashback. Which I thought was really fun.
To the following Halloween.
Yeah, of the Green Meanie coming back and killing everybody.
Everybody.
Which, you know, this is one of those classic sort of horror moments of making the characters so awful that you're totally excited to see them get killed.
Yeah. Let's do cocaine. I'm on call. Whatever.
Yeah. So, I enjoyed these sequences. I enjoyed, like, the way it was cut and lit and everything. And I think that this really opens up the mystery into our exciting new direction. We talked last week about how the setup last week was so boring of a redo of the pilot, the premiere from last year. And the fact that they already got revenge on those people leads to this whole other, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I still think the baby's gonna come back in some capacity.
In some capacity, yeah. It'll play a part, but the following year, that ain't no baby.
Yeah. Now, question, do you think the mother is the killer back then?
Could be. Yeah. Feels a little obvious.
Yeah. But who else could it be is the question.
Who knows? Yeah. That's the fun. The fun here.
I do think it's worth noting a lot of people thought that the woman who was in on the murder and the premiere, they thought maybe that was Dean Munch as a young woman.
Oh, yeah.
But he's dead now. So
not Dean Munch, the nurse. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's
Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he survived. Maybe it is Dean Munch, but I think we can probably drop that.
Yeah, idea. Especially since they say her motivation for buying this hospital was
because
she's been feeling sick and she doesn't care at all about.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think there's more there. I would be surprised if she didn't know. She knew the history.
Yeah.
You know, so I think there's more there. I don't think that's all of the art. Again, why did she bring the Chanels on?
You know? I'm just trying to think. I know this is just a show, but again, I have some mild knowledge of medicine and currently work in a hospital. So Dean Munch has been doing a lot of traveling, extensive international traveling. Doctors ask about where you've been in the last year.
Yeah.
Like, generally, you come into your GP, your doctor, your main doctor, and you're like, I haven't been feeling good. Here are these malaise, like these systems of headache, joint pain, blah, blah, blah. Where have you been in the last year? Oh, these countries that don't necessarily have great healthcare, or here are some risks of traveling. Like, there are certain vaccines sometimes you need to go to some country. Like,
or maybe you're a cannibal.
Or maybe you eat. Yeah. Like, I'm not expecting every doctor
to
know.
Accidental cannibal.
Kind of. So, yeah, I just mean to say that was kind of dumb that it was left up to Zayday to figure out that it was
this disease. Yeah. For sure. Let's talk about the nurse.
Hoffel.
Hoffel, She is awful. I do not like her.
You have very strong feelings against her.
I just really don't enjoy her presence on the show. I did like, the only thing I really liked was her hand, like, you know.
Yeah, as they're sneaking trying away. To eavesdrop, yeah. Eavesdrop on so, the Dean.
The biggest setup that she's clearly looking in on the Chanels. She's mm-hmm. trying to talk with Zeta. Zeta's actually smart there, so that's something. She's nurse jacking it up with the pills.
Yeah, I like that part of it. They're my supplements. But then later we see her as she's, you know, listening to the bug in the Dean's office that she's stuffing these giant pill bottles into the, like, pockets of her lab coat.
Yeah.
So really blatantly stupid, but I love it.
So, and then they're setting up with the bugging that the board of directors or whatever, gonna deem Dean Monk to be unfit to run the hospital. So mm-hmm. I do wonder if Hoffel's gonna take over Umbridge style
and
mess up everything.
If she's trying.
Yeah.
She's gonna get murdered, you know?
I can only hope.
I mean, they expanded the amount of people that could be killed.
Yeah.
But it's still fairly short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so are we just down to Tyler's murder, or do we have any other characters that I'm forgetting about? I think that's everything.
I want to say that's it.
All right. So, Tyler's murder, similar to the unmasking, he's about to reveal something important, and then he gets killed.
Yeah.
You know, a fun way to end the episode. Again, great use of music.
And the Chanels reunited together in one cause.
Yeah, yeah.
The quick footsteps of the heels on the hallway. Yeah,
and I like the this is like a death that kind of hurts, even though we only knew him for so many episodes.
I know,
so
even though
scenes.
I don't love Chanel number five, it's like, oh.
Yeah, I feel bad for her.
They would have been nice together.
Yeah. She could have clamped those vagina teeth all over him.
Ew. Also, just more Colton Haynes is never a bad thing.
All right. So I think that's pretty much everything. All right. So we're getting into our feedback segment. If you guys want to send us some feedback on the podcast about these Scream Queens episodes, you can tweet us at ScreamPod on Twitter or send us an email at thescreamcast@gmail.com. So this week we just have some of these here tweets. @Jordan_ says, "I lost my shit when Holding Out for a Hero came on. OMFG. It was such a bloody amazing episode. I'm so excited for more." Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Dan mentioned the lighting is really good. The soundtrack is good. I would say there were some really cool visuals this episode, too.
Yeah. I love this lighting the whole setup with the Red Devil coming in, I thought was really good.
Oh, yeah. But I was going to say, you know, when it was the, not cricket, squash.
Yes.
sports, I don't know a lot about. When he was, like, playing, it was up against the glass, and it was, like, cracking. And when the Green Meanie and the Massacre threw his, like, machete that you could see the blood or the reflection, like, spraying in slow-mo. You know, there were some really nice visual touches.
@MoFierce says, "Was Dean Monk using a file folder as a weapon? If so, she just became my favorite current TV character."
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
I like that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, just as a reminder, you reminded me that she'd studied with some sort of master of martial arts in her youth and traded him with sex,
She taught him the art of sex, I think.
Something like that. Yeah. See, that's what I like about Munch. Yeah. Like, lunacy and capability at the same time. Yeah.
MoFierce also says, "Not important to the plot, but I Think We're Alone Now didn't come out until 1987. I haven't double-checked on this, but that's pretty funny.
Yeah. And it takes place the year before.
This is one of those things similar to some of the medical knowledge where it's like, most people won't get this, so we're just going to go with it. Yeah. And like,
we don't need to double-check with a show like this. Yeah.
Nice. All right. What else we got? We got one from @WhooshDannyH, my favorite Twitter handle. He says, "Tonight, Scream Queens improved in all areas. They really turned up the insanity, crammed a lot. The shower scene had me rolling."
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, like you said at the top of this podcast, last week was and this was, with some,
Yeah.
So, I stand by that. And the shower scene was just a standing ovation.
It was the bomb.
Yeah. How many times did he say you watched it?
Three times. plus like, the time I watched it with you.
Nice.
So yeah, great moment. I am waiting for my big Backstreet Boys surrealist kind of moment, because I do think that was like a really funny scene, but I want the killer to do some more crazy scene, you know, like mm-hmm. bigger things. I mean, like using a laser is crazy, but it's not as like it's not as out there, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see where they go with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the promo has me excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see how I feel right as I'm about to go into watching episode 3.
Yeah.
But I think I will feel a little better going into that than I did going into
2.
Yeah.
So we got 2 weeks waiting on that one. So, you know, in the future, send us your theories too. We want to know what people think about this unraveling mystery.
Clearly, we don't have many theories.
Yeah. Geez, I feel like we're usually better at this, but I don't think it's Hoffel. I don't think it's Cassidy.
I don't think it's Munch.
I don't think it's Brock.
I don't think it's the mom of the baby.
Yeah.
Mm.
We'll see. I don't know who it could be. I mean, at this point, I do think Chamberlain is a suspect more than I thought he would be, because he's actually kind of nice and more normal than I thought he was.
Yeah.
So he's not as obvious as he seemed like he...
But he ran in and the thing ran away, so...
Well, did we see that, though?
No, I guess.
Five was knocked out.
She was knocked out?
Yeah, they said Five passed out or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Found unconscious. Yeah.
I'll say right now I'm suspicious of Chamberlain.
That's fair.
I don't think it's a single killer, but we'll see, you know?
I think it would be refreshing if it was one person, but the fact that Hester knows so much makes that suspicious, too.
Well, it also makes me wonder if there's a connection between, like, I do wonder...
Boone's back!
Well, I mean, do you think there could have been another killer from last year that we still didn't know about?
I don't know.
Like, was 3 always a killer? And
No, I don't think so.
I don't
so.
Think it's totally outside the realm of possibility.
That would feel like some ingenuine storytelling.
Like retconning.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have to make me really buy it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past someone having a split personality. And I wouldn't even necessarily have...
That would be a nice trope that they could touch.
Yeah, and if it wasn't the only killer, I think I might be on board for that, just so we could see an actor have a whole different side to them.
Mm.
I think that would be kind of cool. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
All right. Send us your thoughts. @ScreamPod. Follow us on Twitter. Thank you for listening. Scream you later. And check out our American Horror Story podcast.
Yes.